FYI Politics with Brett Johnson as we are broadcasting live from the so far COVID-19 free AM 950 bunker. Hopefully we stay that way. We've taken extra precautions. Eric, you've got a cover on your microphone. I've got one on my own. We have headset covers. So, man, we are set in here. We got Lysol. Hopefully we stay protected, but tough to say when they're saying anywhere from 20 to 60% of the population could end up getting affected by this thing. So yeah, I guess we are taking our precautions though. How are you feeling about everything in there on your side there, Eric?
I just want to be pure.
Just want to be pure.
I need to clean.
Clean.
I need to be clean. Now I have mentioned this on the show before. I think I already got it.
Right.
A couple, like a week period, maybe a month ago where I was pretty sick, but
did you have the symptoms of a cough and a fever and, like, nothing else? Or?
So I had, like, a small fever and cough.
Well, so far, those are the symptoms.
Breathing, but, like, my parents got those symptoms, but far worse than I did. Like, almost to the point where they had to go to the hospital.
Really? Okay.
And they're about 60, so it tracks.
Did you guys do any international traveling prior to that? Or?
No, but we had just been visited by my aunt, who is an international flight attendant. So that might be the source of infection.
Yeah, maybe that could be community spread. I mean, we really have no idea since they are really restricting the amount of tests that are now going to be available. In fact, pretty much insight from the Trump news conference earlier today basically says that the feds are now saying they're only going to prioritize testing in counties that have at least 50 cases. And that explains why the Minnesota Department of Health is forced to scale back due to the limited supplies. But just think about the logic on that, though. So if we're only going to provide more testing in counties that have more than 50 cases, how do you know about those other counties if you're not providing them tests? It's just,
They'll have to provide testing then.
Yeah, it's
they'll have to do something.
And we're not going to know for a while. The latest out of the Mayo Clinic is that they believe they're still another 2 to 3 weeks away from an antibody test for the coronavirus. Random sampling with that would tell us a lot about the prevalence once the Mayo is able to develop that. But that even is still a few weeks away. And I wonder if this thing has been more widespread than what we've been hearing in the news. As you described, maybe you had some symptoms. I had a cold a couple of weeks ago, but I had more of the runny nose thing going, so I'm not sure if I quit or if I quite fit the criteria of getting the coronavirus. But yeah, it's certainly spreading, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, as you probably heard during the newscast, down about another 2,000 points, meaning we are officially lower than where we were from when Trump took office. Unbelievable. All of those gains have now been completely wiped out, and I imagine we'll probably continue to fall even more. The only way I'm going to be able to tell, really, if we are starting kind of a turnaround on this is if we have 2 or 3 days in a row of a rally. We've seen a couple instances over the past few weeks where the market was up for one day, but from at least what I've heard from financial advisors is that typically you need a 2 or 3 day period before a sustained recovery can really take place. So I imagine we might pick up some gains tomorrow, but probably continue to fall, because if you're forecasting somewhere of like 20% unemployment coming up, that's not good for the economy.
All these businesses that are shut down, you know, what's their stock worth? Their value is absolutely going to plummet.
Oh, any retail store? Exactly. They're going to plummet.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd assume that, like, it would correct itself. It seems like it's correcting itself right now.
I mean, then you have the airline industry that we talked about yesterday. By the way, when was the last time a bailout of the airline industry turned out well for the taxpayers? As we talked about with Northwest Airlines, how many times did we bail those guys out? Then, of course, we had the bailout of the airlines after 9/11. And as we talked about yesterday, that New York Times article from 2004 writing about how the bailout pretty much failed to prop up any of the airlines. So who knows if that'll be part of the stimulus package. At least in the stimulus package, I was reporting yesterday that it looked like each of us were going to be getting about $1,000. Well, that figure has now been increased to $2,000. So least a little bit better. That does some help, but I still don't think that's going to be anywhere near enough to deal with the economic impact from the fallout.
I'm amazed that they're even considering that, though.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Yang. Who would have thought we actually would have been using some of his policies in 2020, even before the election?
I mean, it's not a regular monthly payment, but it's close enough.
That sort of will be. They're saying it's going to be two payments of $1,000. They're hoping for the first payment sometime around April 6th, and then who knows on that second payment.
I was thinking about this. If that seems like an extreme amount of money to you, those quantitative easing payments, the $1.5 trillion, that's equivalent to like $5,000 per person in the country. So this is just $2,000, and that quantitative easing disappeared like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're looking April 6th on that, and good point you brought up. Yeah, $5,000 would probably go a lot further towards helping people. Or even this proposal, this is from Andrew Ross Sorkin in the New York Times. He was saying, well, this would probably be a better idea than giving everyone a couple of $1,000 checks. He thinks the government could offer every American business, large and small, and every self-employed person and gig economy worker a no-interest bridge loan, which is guaranteed for the duration of the crisis, to be paid back over a five-year period. He said the only condition on the loan to businesses would be that the companies continue to employ at least 90% of their workforce at the same wage that they did before the crisis, and it would be retroactive, so any workers that have been laid off in the past 2 weeks because of the crisis would be reinstated. I think that would be a better long-term solution. It's certainly not a perfect idea.
Why do Democrats always have to just make everything so means-tested? You know, it seems like they're always trying to limit who can get it. Like, and we have to make stipulations about how it's received or how, like, who gets it. And this is a emergency situation. We're in a crisis. It seems like you'd want to get that stimulus out to everyone rather than, like, let's play a little game of, like, who qualifies for this or not.
So you don't think we should have any means tests, just give every
business? No, absolutely not. This is an emergency. We should help everyone.
Hmm.
I don't think there should be any sort of barriers in the way of you receiving help.
Yeah, the only thing I would be concerned about, though, in that case, let's say you do give that loan to a business and then they go and lay off all of their employees and then just pocket that money.
Well, I don't think we should be giving out loans specifically to businesses. I think you can give out, you know, stimulus or some sort of funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the expectation of having it paid back, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. At least for businesses, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. Yeah, for individuals, though, I don't think they need to be loans. That certainly wouldn't go well if we gave everyone $10,000 and then said, oh, yeah, you got to pay the government back on that. That certainly wouldn't be a good situation at all. Hey, Eric, I don't know if you ended up watching that Trump press conference this morning, but my mom pointed this out to me. She was saying, with the social distancing we're supposed to be practicing, why are all of them huddled together on that little podium? They're all standing shoulder to shoulder. You would think they would be setting a good example and practicing social distancing. I don't know if you watched that today, but yeah, Trump and Pence were less than like 3 feet away from each other. I'm trying to think of the health secretary that was also up on the stage. Yeah, they were all shoulder to shoulder.
Zaka?
Yeah, it's a woman. I think she looks like she's of Indian descent, maybe. I don't know her name off the top of my head. But yeah, they're all sitting there on that stage, shoulder to shoulder. And I hate to go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole. I don't know if you're in the same boat as me on this, but I got to think Trump, there's a good chance he probably tested positive. He shook hands with the Brazilian president who has the coronavirus.
Does Bolsonaro have the coronavirus?
Yeah, they confirmed. He does actually have it, yes.
There's a lot of back and forth
now,
there.
I know they reported that, Trump tested negative. But keep in mind, that's the same doctor that said Trump was also the healthiest president we've ever had in American history.
I don't think any president would admit to having the coronavirus when they have it, as long as it's not, like, immediately severe.
Mm-hmm.
No, they just wouldn't allow that level of like weakness to be exposed.
And it's so annoying about American politics because no president can ever be perceived as being weak. And I think that's a bipartisan criticism.
Any sort of flaw, it will be like, no, he's got a flaw.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a lefty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they'll say, even if Obama had it, I imagine he would probably not want to report that he has the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think he would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no president would want to do that. And for some reason, that seems unique to American politics. We've had other heads of state admit that they have it, including Bolsonaro down in Brazil, who is about as big of a dictator as you can get, at least among some of the more developed nations in the world compared to, well, I guess not including like a Kim Jong-un or whoever else, but he's largely a dictator.
Far.
Yeah, and he's admitted he has the thing. We had Justin Trudeau's wife admit she has the coronavirus.
Okay, yeah, I knew that Justin Trudeau had some relation to it. It was his wife?
Yeah, it's his wife who had it. They're in isolation right now. I don't think Trudeau has it, but the head of state, yeah, Brazil has the coronavirus.
Every single Iranian politician?
Yeah, that's really hit that country hard where I'm trying to think of the guy who was like coughing on TV as he was making an announcement. Yeah,
that was like something out of a comedy movie. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yep, this is what happens before the disaster.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if we ever see Trump starting to cough, I wonder if he has the thing. I mean, as you said, they probably would never report it. And I imagine, yeah, it is probably a bipartisan issue where any president who gets it does not want the perception of being weak, which is just dumb because a lot of people are going to get it. I think that would add almost a kind of human angle to a politician or a head of state to say, yeah, you know what? I caught this thing as well. I'm going to take the extra precautions.
Looking back at like previous presidents we know have been like flawed with bad health, like JFK,
mm-hmm.
Had bad asthma, I believe.
FDR was in a wheelchair. I mean,
Roosevelt, I think, had pretty bad asthma also.
Or even FDR, if we go back to him, he was trying to hide that he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So I guess the idea of trying to look strong, goes back generations and generations of presidents. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, by the way, before we jumped on the airwaves, you probably heard me read that little liner about Moe's tax service at the end of our weather forecast. Do keep in mind, you still need to file your taxes even though you have that 90-day window. And very important to point out with Moe's tax service that you can still have them help you with your taxes and you don't need to meet with them in person. You can call them over the phone or maybe send them your documents electronically. So still encourage you to check those guys out. I know I'll probably be using them or someone else since I'm going to have complicated taxes this year being a first-time homeowner. I'm going to have no idea how to do my own taxes with all the deductions I'm probably going to be eligible for. So, yeah, check out Moe's Tax. You still need to file those taxes. And best of all with Moe's, you don't even need to meet with them in person. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we'll have more news on the coronavirus, including something that, it was a conversation I had with Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, who runs the Living Healthy and Aging Well show on AM 950. Had a very sobering conversation with him about how his business has been affected. We'll talk about that coming up next here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, we'll be discussing political corruption, Wall Street shenanigans, our corporate overlords, digital dystopia, and maybe throw in a surprise or two as well. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 until midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the latest on coronavirus, a harrowing experience for a Lakeville mom and her son, leads to a new bill in Congress that would require hotels and motels to have carbon monoxide detectors in every room, and Golden Gopher Athletic Director Mark Coyle with an update on sports at the U of M. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So on some of our upcoming shows, we're going to be talking about how the coronavirus has impacted different sectors of the economy and just overall people in their everyday lives. We have some interviews lined up with someone from the Center for Spirituality and Healing talking about psychologically how people react to the coronavirus and what causes them psychologically to go out and panic buy different items. We'll have that later in the week. We'll also be speaking.
I have to say there's something definitely very Freudian about a panicked toilet paper buying.
Yeah, what? I still don't get why toilet. I sound like a broken record. Every radio show talks about why people buy toilet paper, so hopefully we'll get some insight from them and then some other deeper issues about how to deal with
that'll
this
be
thing.
The currency in the post-apocalyptic
yeah,
wastelands.
Yeah, exactly. How did I get the coronavirus? I had 300 rolls of toilet paper at my house. However, could that work? So we'll be talking about that either a little bit later this week or sometime early next week, still trying to line up a date and time. Coming up, we'll also be speaking with Natalie Baptiste of the Mother Jones, as she's going to be talking about how the criminal justice system has been impacted by the virus, because it's a little disturbing how there are a number of prisons who are pretty much having slave labor make different hand sanitizer type lotions. They also, I think at one prison in Oregon, are having all the inmates wash the clothes of healthcare workers that have been working with patients with the coronavirus. So let that be a note. Don't get arrested for anything over the next few months, because it sounds like prison, not that you ever want to go to prison, but especially—
You're saying it's not fun anymore?
Yeah, prison, no longer fun. Newsflash. Well, it's especially not going to be fun if you're going to be having to deal with the coronavirus and making hand sanitizers and maybe even washing clothing that's been exposed to people who had the virus, or at least healthcare workers. So that'll be coming up on Friday. Also, we'll be speaking with Kevin Featherly, getting an update of the state legislature about how they've been responding. Then tomorrow, this is something we might not think about very much with the coronavirus, but we'll be having Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show talking about, even though this is a little bit lower on the priority list, but how the real estate market has been affected by the coronavirus. I'm kind of interested to find out, like, if people are still going out to see homes, or what do you do if you're trying to sell your home? I imagine that's got to be a pretty tough situation. So those are all coming up on some future shows. Now, also want to talk about this in terms of how different businesses and sectors have been impacted by the coronavirus. So over the past few days, being the main production guy here at AM 950, I've been having conversations with our different weekend hosts, talking about what their plans are for running programming during the coronavirus outbreak. And one of the people I had a conversation with earlier today is Ken Hagland, who is the host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, which you can hear Saturdays at noon on AM 950. The title pretty much gives away what they talk about on that show every week. But he, in addition to hosting that show, Ken also runs a business called Minnesota Hospice. Basically, they provide hospice care for, of course, people who are on their deathbed. They do their best to try to make them comfortable, not only through, obviously, physically through different medications and such, but they also provide spirituality and healing. They also help family members deal with people who are dealing with a loved one who is on their deathbed. And this is really a sobering conversation I had with him earlier today, because he was talking about how his business, Minnesota Hospice, has been impacted. And I didn't know this, but this is really scary if you have a relative or a friend or someone who is unfortunately close to death. Unfortunately, the way it works with the new restrictions we have for the coronavirus is that if you do have someone in hospice care or someone that's in the hospital and they are unfortunately getting close to, well, reaching the end, you're not allowed to be in the same room as them, even if you're a family member or a close friend or a husband or a wife or anything. Pretty much the only person who is allowed in the same room as someone who is on hospice care or near end of life is pretty much the nurse or the doctor. So Ken and I got into a nice conversation about this. Well, not a nice conversation, but an informative and very sobering conversation about how it's been very tough on their nurses, because it's tough there. If you're sitting, if you're someone who's on their deathbed, you can't have your family with you. You can't have your friends with you. They've been running through scenarios where they've been trying to FaceTime different relatives in. He was describing how different friends and family of some of their patients have been flying in from all over the country to be with their loved ones as they reach the end, and then all of a sudden they get there and find out they can't even be in the same room as someone because of these new restrictions with the coronavirus. And yeah, it's incredibly stressful for family members who have been impacted by this. Also for their nurses and their healthcare workers as well, since their motto over there is that no one dies alone, and unfortunately, it certainly put them in quite a bind. And I even asked Ken, well, can't you guys come up with some sort of exception from these rules? And, well, largely he said no, because it would take either, as he described, an act of Congress or an act of God to be able to change that, since the legislature and Congress is busy with a lot of other issues. But even if you were to make an exception, he still said that might not be the best idea, being that, well, let's say you do allow friends and family in when someone's on their deathbed. Well, what happens if one of those friends or family members happen to have the coronavirus and they get hundreds of other people who are that are sick within the hospital? You could be looking at lots of other problems, including lawsuits. So just want to point that out, that it's a sector that you might not think about that's been significantly impacted by the coronavirus outbreak and some of the restrictions we've had. It sounds like these restrictions are necessary, but boy, that's really, really tough to think about if you have a friend or a relative or a family member or whatever else, and they're on their deathbed, and unfortunately you're largely not allowed to be in the same room as then. So Ken, I think we'll be talking a little bit more about this on his program, Living Healthy and Aging Well, coming up Saturday at noon. I might even bring him on next week to my show to talk a little bit more about this and some options that you might have. If you do have an older relative that is in some poor health, what do you do, unfortunately, if they end up going downhill? Just expanding on that on a little bit of a different topic, I know my grandma's currently in a retirement home over in Minnetonka. They're on complete lockdown now, where they don't even allow their residents to largely leave their own room. They have staggered schedules for when they can go down and eat lunch, eat breakfast, eat dinner. So it certainly affected them as well. I know even going into my grandma's, it's not a nursing home, it's more of a retirement home, but they do have assisted living available. They don't even allow any family members in there unless you're like the legal guardian, which in the case of my family is my mom, but even her brothers and sisters can't go into that facility. They don't allow UPS workers in for any deliveries like that. So it's been nuts how that's been happening. And just having that conversation with Ken this morning about how hospice has been affected, boy, I certainly hope my grandma can pull through for the next few months. She's 90, coming up on 94 years old, so she's not a young woman, but yeah, hopefully she stays all right. And yeah, it's not the best thing in the world to think about, but it is a reality. If you do have a friend or relative in that situation, you might want to look ahead at what sorts of restrictions you might have so you can make arrangements where maybe you can face your time yourself into that room or use some kind of streaming service. So, yeah, do you have something to share on that, Eric? Looked like you had your...
Oh, no, it just reminded me of a situation with my grandmother last year. She's passed away since, not because of the situation.
Right.
But the flu was pretty bad in her nursing home, and no one was allowed to leave the room. And
oh, really?
I don't even think my mother could visit her, and she was the legal guardian.
So they even had restrictions then. So yeah, if that was even happening with a flu outbreak, just multiply that by about 10 or 100 with this coronavirus outbreak. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Come on back. We got more ahead on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Mohs has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at MohsTax.com. That's MohsTax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Believe it or not, it's time for spring cleaning. You're not the only one who's tired of winter this year. Your carpets are too. Think about the dust, dander, and bacteria living in your carpet with nowhere to go. There's only one real way to get all that gunk out of your home, and that's by calling ZeroRes. This month, get 3 rooms of carpet ZeroResified starting at only $129 plus a free hallway. That's a savings of $55. But you have to mention AM950 when you call. That's 952-ZeroRes or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, we'll be discussing political corruption, Wall Street shenanigans, our corporate overlords, digital dystopia, and maybe throw in a surprise or two as well. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 until midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their 2 convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 45. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, rain with a high near 43. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 28.
With bars and restaurants closing around the state, now is more important than ever to make sure you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants through takeout orders. One that offers takeout is Nightingale, located off 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. Find their full delicious takeout menu available at nightingalempls.com. Definitely make sure you check out our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants for takeout, as the hospitality industry certainly is going to be hit very, very hard by all of these closures. Nightingale has some delicious food. In fact, I might even order some takeout from there tonight, as I got to head towards that area of town as my bike is finally done being repaired. So at least give me something to do during the quarantine period. I'll be able to get back out there on the trails, although probably not tomorrow.
Get out there.
Yeah. Get out there, but still keep my distance, 6 feet. Got to do that at least. But I mean, I'd recommend that for anyone. Make sure you still go outside among this quarantine if you just are cooped up inside all the time.
That's kind of what I've noticed, actually, surprisingly, is that I've seen more people just out walking around and kind of living life. They must not be at work or something. But and I guess it was also very nice out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the quarantine doesn't necessarily like build a giant little hole and bury yourself in it. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, avoids close contact with people.
Exactly. Yeah. You can still go out and take a walk or go for a bike ride or do whatever outdoor activity you like. Still just practice those social distancing practices of being at least 6 feet away from people. So that'll be a good way to at least somewhat keep your sanity, because if you stay inside all the time, that's going to be just kind of like a repeat of winter, but probably even more depressing when you're seeing nice weather outside. So definitely recommend that. Hey, along those same lines, Majors & Quinn is a store in Minneapolis, and they tweeted out that even though they're closed, they have displays of these different board games in their windows where they encourage people to call and order those games if they see something that they like. So that's another good activity, too, among this quarantine time. Play some board games. Do you have any favorite board games yourself in there that you like playing with family? Obviously, you probably can't invite many friends over, but...
Yeah, because I have no friends. Is that what you're saying?
No, yeah. Taking a dig at Eric in there. Yeah.
I don't know. I have boring choices. I really like Risk.
Risk? That's always a good one to fall back on.
I guess when I win, it makes people feel more frustrated because it took 12 hours.
Oh, so you're just a troll when you play the
game. Yeah, I just want to infuriate everyone.
Infuriate everyone. Yeah, you'd fit very well in with the Trump-supporting crowd. Yeah, you just like to troll people. I don't know. For me, I like backgammon. I just got back into that game a few weeks ago, introduced to that by my parents. Ever played that one before? I think that might be up your alley since there's a lot of math involved in it.
I don't know if I've ever played it. You know, I'm familiar with, like, the shape of the board and everything, but it seems like one of those things I see all the time but never play.
Yeah, there's a lot of math and planning ahead that goes into that game, so if you have kind of that concrete type of mind, it definitely plays to your strength.
Kind of like a cribbage-style game?
Yeah, that's a...
Close approximation.
Yeah, that's a fun one to play if you want to do a board game that involves a little bit of thinking. Or the one I did get for Christmas, my gerrymandering board game. That's 2 to 4 players, so if you have some family members at home that are into politics, that's one I'd recommend checking out as well. I think that one, though, you got to order online, so just pick whatever website you use to order that game. Preferably not Amazon, by the way. And also want to point this out, going back to what we were talking about in that last segment. As I was talking with Ken, he was in his car driving around trying to find hand sanitizer for his healthcare workers. So please, do not hoard those products. If even Ken Hagland, who owns a hospice agency, is having to drive around to Targets and Walmarts and Walgreens to find hand sanitizer, don't be the douchebag who's out there buying 100 bottles of that stuff. So,
although I will say a secret to our listeners, you can just mix alcohol. It can be any kind, like rubbing alcohol, even vodka. Just put it into some sort of gel soap. It works the same way.
Really? Okay. So a little homemade tip there from our own Eric Nelson. If things go wrong, call us here at the station and blame Eric if you end up doing that.
Yeah. Don't drink this stuff.
Don't drink it. Yeah. Well, I sprayed it on this, and now I get to reward myself with a little bit of a shot. Yeah, that probably won't
go
down.
Good job, Eric.
Good job, Eric. You cleaned the studio. Now let's have a shot of my hand sanitizer. Yeah, would not recommend doing that whatsoever. But, yeah, don't stock up on that stuff if you don't need to. They're still going to have more orders of that coming in. It's the thing I don't get with the hoarding idea is that the supply chain, as was reported yesterday by the Minnesota Grocers Association, is not going to be interrupted. You're still going to be able to go out and shop for all of those essentials. The supply chain is not shutting down, so there's no need to go and hoard everything and stock up on toilet paper and hand sanitizer and so on, because you could be taking those products away from people who actually need them, including our friend Ken Hagland over at Minnesota Hospice, who, yeah, instead of being able to do the work that he should be doing, he's having to drive around to different stores around town trying to buy hand sanitizer and other cleaning products. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So, overall, we have seen an increase in the number of cases in Minnesota for the coronavirus. The age range is now 17 to 94, so certainly quite the range. 7 of these cases have required hospitalization, but 3 have since been released, while 1 remains in critical condition. 6 cases are now also confirmed as resulting from the community transmission, which was up from 3 over the weekend. Running through some other numbers, we've had 13 cases from healthcare workers, but health officials are at least saying that the transmission was all related to travel and not work, so I don't know if that's necessarily good news, so read into that however you want. 10 patients are either school age or school employees. And the median age of a patient who has the coronavirus in Minnesota is 50. And of the total of 77 patients overall, or 77 people who have tested positive for the virus, 46 are male, 31 are female. And one more stat to pass along with this, and I think this is important. We, at least thus far, have not seen any clusters of cases, which means that we've done a fairly decent job of preventing the community spread. They've at least been fairly spread out around the metro area and greater Minnesota.
I don't know. Is that good news?
I would think it'd be worse news if you start having clusters, because that means you're seeing a pretty big spread of community or community transmission, and whatever bubble you would have of people who have it in that cluster, it's very likely to blow up and go to other areas of the state rather quickly. That's at least the way I would read into it in terms of cluster. I don't know. You're kind of a math guy in there, too. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. I mean, I guess you'd have to know more about the disease.
Yeah, like, I'm no expert on it. Yeah,
the spread of diseases.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a, what's the term of that, a diseaseologist? That's totally a made-up
word.
That's
definitely not it, but yeah. There is a term for it.
I like the term diseaseologist, though. So that's at least what they're saying in terms of having clusters. We at least don't have that quite yet. Other news out of the Minnesota government in terms of how we're dealing with the coronavirus. This is from Governor Tim Walz. He has now classified food distribution workers, which include your store clerks, your stockers, and pretty much anyone that kind of works at a grocery store or is in charge of stocking those shelves. He's now titling them Tier 2 Emergency Workers. Now, that sounds like some technical jargon. But that is important, that Tier 2 classification, because that means that these workers are now going to be allowed or classified as frontline workers, which means they're eligible for child care as they serve and feed different Minnesotans. So that's certainly very important to make sure that we are getting those food workers their benefits that they need through child care. We were talking yesterday about the different unemployment reforms we've taken in Minnesota. And basically, if you are a worker and your employer does not allow you to stay home to care for your children, you are eligible for unemployment insurance. So that's an important note to point out. I would still recommend going to the Department of Labor website for Minnesota to see if you are eligible for unemployment insurance, because that it looks like, reading through some of the requirements and the new rules that we have in place, you might be eligible, even though on the surface you might not think that you are necessarily eligible for those types of benefits. Also have some news about other businesses that have closed, and this one's going to affect me in here, Eric. Hair salons and spas are now closed, and my hair is getting a little long, so I'm kind of out of luck for the next couple of weeks here, so I don't know if I'm going to end up. My hair is very straight. It's not curly at all.
You just got a haircut, didn't you?
Not for like 6 weeks. Not. I wish I would have. Might have been in better shape, but my hair is very straight, so if it grows out, it's looking straight up like a mullet. It's not going to be pretty.
Maybe a new style for Brett.
Well, yeah, a new style. Yeah. Brett with the mullet in here. So I got
Virus Core, some sort of new fashion line.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I might have to try to contact my my haircut person, April, over at the Barber Chair, a local business in located here in Eden Prairie. Been cutting my hair since I was a kid. Got to text April and say, what are we going to be doing about this? Can you maybe have like a speakeasy version of a haircut place?
Yeah, you know how there's like telemed? Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have like some sort of like telebarber service.
Telebarber?
Like maybe they could just instruct you.
Wow, what could possibly go wrong with that?
Sounds perfect, actually.
That would be kind of fun to do, to try to cut your own hair. I mean, if you're going to be quarantined anyways, I mean, you got a couple of weeks to grow that hair back
out.
Best
time to do it.
Exactly. So there you go. I think, Eric, you're full of ideas in there today. Not all of them are necessarily good, including that one, but you're
all ideas.
They all are ideas. Yeah, that doesn't mean they need to be good, but they are nonetheless ideas. Your best one, though, is making your own hand sanitizer. I think that is true.
Although we did get a caller who mentioned that it has to be above, I believe, 68% to kill back the viruses. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't use regular vodka. You'd have to use a stronger, like Everclear 151.
Yeah, so you can't just go to the liquor store and buy the cheapest bottle of vodka out there. That's probably not going to get the job done, is what I'm guessing. So too bad for me. I do have some extra vodka in a bottle at home. I suppose I can't make my own hand sanitizer. So,
you have to drink it.
I have to drink it instead, yeah. So maybe I'd have to do that because I'm not able to have any more hand sanitizer. No, I lied. I actually do have plenty of hand sanitizer. I didn't stock up on it on purpose. I bought my big bottle of hand sanitizer weeks and weeks ago, not knowing that this outbreak was going to be as bad as it was. So, you know, don't blame me for stocking up on that stuff. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We do have open phone lines for the rest of the hour. I got to go through some other closures. This one's not surprising whatsoever. Both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have announced their upcoming conventions are not going to be done in person. It looks like they might be trying to stream it or doing it through telephone. At least both parties are expected to make announcements coming up in the next couple of days. We'll have more on the way coming up next here on FYI Politics.
Did you know there's deconstruction funding available now for homeowners and contractors in Hennepin County? If you are embarking on a remodel or teardown this year, consider hiring Better Futures Minnesota's deconstruction crews instead of demolition. By taking a house or building apart by hand instead of destroying it with heavy equipment, the materials can be reused or recycled instead of going into the landfill. It is much more cost-effective and is a carbon-neutral solution. Go to betterfuturesminnesota.com and look under Business Services to learn more.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. I've been telling you about Snap Construction, the company AM950 trusts for all roofing and siding needs. Now that spring is here and summer is around the corner, now is a great time to find out why AM950 trusts Snap Construction. Ryan, the owner, and his team at Snap Construction have been great to work with, and they have enjoyed working with our listeners.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners at AM950. What a great group of people and a great radio station. I personally want to thank all the listeners that we've had the opportunity to work with. At Snap Construction, we look forward to working with many more of you when it comes to your roofing, siding, windows, and insulation. Don't just take Chad's word for it. Google Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the Twin Cities Metro. We led this community with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate. Call today, 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP, or visit us online, snapconstruction.com.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake would like to say Pini Gigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, we'll be discussing political corruption, Wall Street shenanigans, our corporate overlords, digital dystopia, and maybe throw in a surprise or two as well. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 until midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
On FYI Politics with Brett Johnson Wednesday afternoon. Following up what I was talking about in that last segment with those Republican and Democratic upcoming conventions in Minnesota, that includes pretty much any convention they're having, whether it is at your local district level or at the county level or statewide. So they're working on decisions for maybe trying to stream that somehow. I'm not sure how that would quite work, though, if you would have like a bunch of people connected to a live stream. I'm not sure how the voting would quite work in that scenario. Either way, that certainly causes a mess when it comes to trying to get delegates for both the Republican and the Democratic Party, or I guess here in Minnesota, the DFL Party. I'm not sure I would necessarily attend a live streaming of a county convention. I ultimately wasn't chosen as a delegate because, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to my precinct caucuses back in February. But I don't know about you. Would you attend some sort of stream of your upcoming like district convention if you moved on from precinct?
When you say attend, you mean maybe put on a laptop and like walk around doing my regular routine?
I guess you
like,
could do that, yeah.
In
yeah.
the background, I guess.
You should be paying attention, though, if you're there. All right.
Well, I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be. All right, fully admit.
Teleconferenced in. I guess it's a good amount of delegate.
Yeah, I guess so. A couple other pieces of news and notes. Let's start off at the presidential level. So I forgot this guy was even still running, but Bill Weld has ended his presidential campaign to challenge Donald Trump for the Republican nomination. Bill Weld, you might remember, is the former governor of Massachusetts back in the 90s. He also ran as the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party back in 2016. Well, he has officially ended his campaign, meaning that President Donald Trump has no more challengers for the Republican nomination. He at least did have a good two or three kind of legitimate challengers to him when you had Bill Weld. Who were the other two guys? We had Mark Sanford, who I still can't believe tried to get himself back in the public spotlight. He was the guy, if you don't remember, who was the governor of South Carolina and then went AWOL when he met up with his mistress. Was it Brazil or some South American country?
Was it Argentina?
Or Argentina, yeah. I knew it was one of those countries down there. He ran for a while. Then Joe Walsh also had a presidential campaign. Joe Walsh.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Joe Walsh was running.
Yeah. He's a big-time Tea Partier, but to his credit, he is very, very much a never-Trumper. He was a congressman for Illinois for at least one term, elected back in 2010. And, yeah, he pretty much got squashed from the Republican Party when he came out against Trump. In fact, I think even his radio show, which was fairly popular, ended up getting canceled. So,
oh, I also found out a favorite of ours.
Oh, who's this?
Rocky De La Fuente.
Is he still in
too.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, Rocky De La Fuente. Hey, he's the best chance if you're a never-Trumper. And there are plenty of never-Trump Republicans. It's one of my secret things I kind of do. Secret pleasure is listening to different podcasts of never-Trump Republicans. They're kind of fun to listen to get their perspective. I can have some respect for Republicans, even though I disagree with them politically, that they at least do recognize that Trump has been a disastrous president and, for the most part, doesn't even really represent conservative values, i.e., just go ahead and look at how the budget deficit has gone since he took office. How about the Democratic side? Well, it's looking more and more like Bernie Sanders might be dropping out. At least this sign is possibly pointing to that. So as of today, the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign has no more active Facebook ads the morning after, well, another disappointing series of primary results last night. Joe Biden ended up winning all three states that were up yesterday evening, so the reason we bring this up is that, well, this is the exact same route that both Pete Buttigieg and Michael Bloomberg made when they also dropped out of the race. Basically, the day before they dropped out, they also suspended all Facebook advertising. So, yeah, looking like the Sanders campaign may be on the verge of ending. I know there was also some rumors that Sanders might be addressing some of his supporters a little bit later on. Later on this week, so stay tuned on that. But at least if you read the tea leaves and see that Sanders is suspending all of his Facebook ads, yeah, probably a bit of a signal there that he might be looking towards the end of his presidential campaign. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Colleen in Blaine who wants to chime in on the coronavirus. Colleen, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to clarify and make sure that everyone's really aware of the circus that continues regarding the information that's put out by Trump and portrayed as fact and then is countered. And there's just so much chaos that it doesn't always get through. But when, you, for example, when you were speaking yesterday and saying, yeah, now they've got their act together and they're explaining why they didn't take the World Health Organization's shot.
Yeah, they didn't take their test kits, okay. But they certainly still do deserve some criticism for not.
The thing is, Pat, here's the really big thing that everyone knew that we need to be putting out, and Patty Murray has been all over this for a long time. Patty Murray, Senator from Washington, who wrote a letter to Trump. She wrote a letter to Pence and to Alex Azar January 20th, wondering, asking specifically, why in the hell Are we not accepting the World Health Organization tests like the, like literally the rest of the world? It's available. Why aren't we getting it? She never received an answer from any of them. And she was writing this as the head of her committee.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody got back. And then the extensive reports come out that have been verified on the business transactions, that the transactional president trying to make a business deal. How can we make money off of this? This has got to be a money-making deal. And everything is, through his eyes, are a money-making deal. And we need to get a grip on that. And you'll notice as the crowd behind him in his ridiculous press conferences dwindle each day. And the people with that information, for example, Jerome Adams, who stood up there with this look on his face, this stunned look, the Surgeon General, who, you know, won't go out there anymore. Same with the CDC head, that the crowd keeps getting smaller and smaller because people are refusing to stand up. And then there, like Jerome Adams has been out on MSNBC and CNN countering
the information
that was given.
I appreciate the phone call there, Colleen. Yeah, that is something that I have kind of noticed as well, that those the crowd around him at those press conferences has been getting progressively smaller. And going back to what Colleen was saying, at least according to the World Health Organization, they typically don't give those test kits to developed nations. So the criticism I would still level at the Trump administration, though, is that we've known this thing was coming since January. So if we weren't going to take those test kits from the World Health Organization, you should have been having, if you're going to go the private industry route, telling them to ramp up their production, or at least have the CDC ramp up their own production. Either way, I mean, I'm not defending Trump in that case. Typically, nations don't take the WHO test kits if they are classified as quote-unquote developed nations, but we still had no plan in place back in January when we largely knew this thing was going to be coming to the States.
I mean, at this point, we have the preparation level of an undeveloped country.
Yeah, that's unfortunately very sad. In fact, we had a caller yesterday, or maybe it was on Monday, who was saying that she had her son, I think, that was a teacher in Hong Kong that got called back to the United States. And basically the officials in Hong Kong said, we don't want you back in our country because, well, your country, being the United States, doesn't have this coronavirus outbreak under control whatsoever. So even the Chinese are saying, you Americans, even we don't want you back in our country since you could, well, cause the spread to happen again. I guess if there is any reason for optimism with the coronavirus is that in China, I think today they only had one reported new case, so they only lasted, what, about 2 or 3 months, which is better than the 18 I've heard forecast by some folks.
I don't think we're willing to do the severe tactics they did, though, in order to
get
out
of those
control.
Were pretty harsh. I don't know, if we want to go quite to those same extremes, but
I don't even know if we're capable.
Yeah. Or have the willpower to do that whatsoever, especially when there's still a lot of people, especially on the conservative side of the aisle, that are still thinking this thing is a hoax and not a big deal whatsoever. That's all the time I got for my show today. Stay tuned. We got Matt McNeil coming up, then Robert Pilot at 5. Don't miss that.